Welcome, friends, for another episode of the Green New Deal for Europe podcast. In this episode, we are welcoming Ted and Nicole from the Sunrise Movement. The Sunrise Movement is a prominent and successful advocate of the Green New Deal in the US and therefore a great inspiration for us in Europe. Today, they explain us how the Green New Deal works for them, how the Sunrise Movement is organized, and how they actually get politicians to support the case of the Green New Deal. I think it's a great conversation and opportunity for us to learn about political organizing. So please welcome Ted and Nicole from the Sunrise Movement.
So are you just Sunrise in the New York, or are you part of the whole Sunrise Movement across the US?
Nicole, you want to take that?
Sure. I would say it's both. I think both Ted and I focus on New York stuff because we're based in New York right now, and that's the way that most people in the US in Sunrise operate. There are like 250 or 300 hubs that are just local autonomous groups of people who act kind of in parallel to the national movement, but like focused on our own issues. But we do like frequently engage with national campaigns. So like we're national things. So for example, I do actions in the New York hub. And so I was at an Action Leads training that was put on by National Sunrise last weekend. And there's some folks going to an art training in December. Because we're close to DC, where Sunrise National does a lot of action, sometimes folks will go down to join them. Over the summer, there was a summit hosted by National that members of the hub went to. So, both.
And is your main policy proposal the Green New Deal?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we center all our actions and all our requests around the Green New Deal. So when we lobby politicians or throw protests, it's always for the Green New Deal, which in its current state is basically a resolution with a lot of proposed legislation, along with, actually, as of 2 days ago, one real bill, which is a fully public housing with a fully renewable energy.
Yes, we have seen this housing. But that would be a part of the larger Green New Deal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a raft of legislation. It's not a... like one, it's supposed to be quite a number of things that could be categorized as Green New Deal style legislation.
Okay. So as I say, our Green New Deal for Europe is where the blueprint for policy proposals is currently. And then it will be devolved down to the various countries through these movements, and depending on which think tanks join the coalition, you know, because a Green New Deal will be, it will have the same principles, but it will be implemented differently in different countries, I guess,
mm-hmm.
by whichever organizations or even companies, if they want to, are located in these different countries. So in this sense, it's a bit different to the US because there are different organizations in, for example, Germany than they are in the UK. But as long as they keep to the same principles of the Green New Deal, I suppose, again, I'm not a policy person, but I guess it would be still implemented in the same way, just by different groups.
Basically, I think every Green New Deal proposal across across countries would definitionally have like the goal of decarbonizing the economy and basically like decommodifying survival.
And maybe Ted, you can talk about the local ones and I can answer national questions if folks have them.
For sure.
I know how that works.
Actually, I'm going to try to present my slideshow one more time. I don't know why it only showed half of it. Let's hope for the best here.
I can see it.
Okay, can you see this?
Yep.
Yes, sweet. The whole thing.
Okay, wait, there's no title. I don't know why. but is there like also...
Big sunrise. Huh?
Can you see the title here? I can't see it on my screen.
No, we
can't.
Okay, well, this says Sunrise Movement as the title, Sunrise National. It's a nonprofit organization. And Nicole, fill in for me here. I just did like the briefest summary. It basically sets our broadest agenda in terms of campaigns and goals. And it's mm-hmm. mostly like paid staff members who are just mm-hmm. out of college. Mm-hmm. The goal is to build an army of young people to fight for Green New Deal style legislation, mm-hmm. whether or not that's like decarbonizing the economy, like rewilding marshes and forests as carbon sinks, putting everyone to work, doing a universal healthcare guarantee. And then there's a special focus in the U.S. on low-income and non-white communities because historically they've been left out of big advances in social and economic progress. And so in order to make it as just as possible in a time of, I guess, necessary big disruption, it would focus on providing security and jobs for people in those communities. Anything else?
Nope. That's good. That's Big Sunrise.
Oh, there it is. Oh, you know what? I took this PowerPoint from someone else. And I think they just did like a fade in with the title. I did not know that. I just like ripped off the format, the actual format. Anyways. So New York City, it's an entirely volunteer organization. We're all students or have day jobs and stuff for now. We're one hub of Sunrise. We don't call them chapters. It's like a non-legal entity, so we don't get in trouble as easily. And we have local initiatives as well as taking part in national campaigns. So locally, we support, we like endorse local politicians. We target like local companies in New York City. We have access to like all the big media and finance and like asset management companies that are screwing us over.
Yep.
And then each hub also is organized a little differently. We're large, so we have four different working groups and like a membership in like several hundred people. So locally we plan rallies and strikes. Nicole just planned like a rapid fire response strike in the New York Times building because they didn't ask any questions during the last Democratic debate.
Climate. Yeah,
we form coalitions, we partner with other organizations to basically have more people power.
Especially when we endorse. I would say like, if you're looking to endorse people and get them elected, every race that Sunrise has endorsed in, we've partnered with like bigger field operations.
Yeah.
It's a big undertaking, at least in the US.
Yeah, and so I have a slide for the three big working groups. So political strategy is like the heart of Sunrise Movement, especially locally. Part of our theory of change is causing mass disruption, mass protests, and also causing personal transformation in everyone we get in contact with. And we want to radicalize people to fight for something that even a year ago was considered completely fringe. So that's actions, that's protests, rallies.
This reminds me of another slogan that we use at Actions a lot, which is, which side are you on? We have some songs about it. We'll put it on big banners, and it's supposed to like be really polarizing and make people choose, obviously, our side. But
yeah,
which side are you on?
Yeah, like the whole goal is to basically have people consider the status quo versus like necessary change, and to realize that the only way to go is with the change versus with the status quo. So political strategy also builds relationships with like a very dense ecosystem of partners with the goal of like mutual support. So if we have big, it basically allows us to do more with more people and organize like more independently. So like we can have bigger rallies, we can have more people lobbying their state senators basically with this dense network of partners who work closely with each other. Like right now we're in a big big brand new coalition called Movement for the Green New Deal. There's another slide on that, but it's like a number of large progressive organizations in New York City that have paired up for the same goal of basically getting New York off fossil fuels by 2030.
Could you put what's the name of that coalition? Sorry,
Movement for a Green New Deal. I think it's the last slide. So the second big working group is Outreach, which is in charge of recruitment, passing out literature to people, like tabling, canvassing. They speak at schools, colleges, and like other institutions and events about both Sunrise Movement and the Green New Deal. So we've reached a lot of like students that way and a lot of people who might not be aware otherwise. They meet, they're probably the most active. They meet all the time and just end up going to a lot of places where climate activists wouldn't normally go. And then hub coordination, that's what I'm in charge of at the moment. It's all internal communications for the hub. So it's a big place and it can be confusing for people, especially if you're brand new, you might not know what to do, where to go, who to talk to. So we are in charge of making that as easy as possible. So we plan monthly meetings, which is our big one. Every month we have like a gathering of most of the members of the hub in one place to go over like recaps of the previous month, to announce events and like get like commitments for participation, to hold trainings and to like get familiarized or re-familiarized with different working groups. Hub coordination also is in charge of organizing training. So Sunrise is very big on different kinds of training. A lot of the national members of Sunrise, like the staff members, have a background in like movements, basically like social movements. So that means stuff like holding rapid response rallies, public speaking, building protest art. Nicole can probably speak more to that in a second. And then also just social events. So we want to make sure that the hub prevents burnout. Like activism takes a lot out of you emotionally and in terms of time. So we make sure to hold social events as well as political events, just to give people some breathing room and basically keep them on board for the long run. Otherwise, we would probably have more burnout and less participation. Nicole, let me know if you want to add anything.
I would say that some hubs have an entire trainings team. So there will be four teams, and the trainings team does both skills training, but also like political strategy training and like the way that Sunrise think our theory of change. And they'll do regular trainings for people once a month for new members. So we're working on building that out in New York as well.
There's one more that I forgot to make a slide for because I've had a really busy week. And that is Just Hub, which basically is responsible for... So Sunrise Movement and climate activism in general tends to naturally attract like a more affluent, more white membership. But that's kind of at odds with the American version of the Green New Deal, which prioritizes low-income and minority communities. So what we're doing basically is like doing more direct outreach to places that like might not invite us to speak because they might not know about us, like public schools and like low income areas versus like fancy private schools that invite us. Just like other organizations that are mostly minority members, like in New York, it's Make the Road is one of them, which is a immigrant rights group. So we're basically trying to increase the diversity of membership in Central more actively in order to both better reflect the city, which is like 50% white, 50% not white, and then also just like doing solidarity across different like class lines.
Yeah. And I would say, I don't know how true this is in Europe, but in the US, the climate movement has been like a white dominated movement for like the last 30 or so years. And so we have to do a lot of like intentional work to create a space that is not just like white middle class interests when we talk about climate. That's kind of the reputation that environmental work has in the US.
Yeah, basically due to like historical factors, like the people who are going to get hit the worst by climate change are like mostly minorities.
Tell that to the Bangladeshi people. Tell me they're a minority. There are billions of them.
Yeah, like in the US, like, I don't know, it's just in terms of like low income housing is like in the flood zones, and low income people have like the least amount of support to either move or adapt, basically. So we have to prioritize their interests in order to pass a Green New Deal that like works for society at large. So the last slide, if I can go to it here, Movement for a Green New Deal. So this is a new coalition founded about 6 weeks ago that's already had a number of meetings and rallies. So it's several different organizations in New York City. Some of which, like Sunrise Movement, are pretty new, like we're 2 years old. Some of which have been around forever, like New York Communities for Change. And basically, we're just combining forces, which allows us to invite more people to, like, more easily to have bigger rallies. It allows people to, like, be more frequent, like, in your local elected officials' offices, like, asking for or, like, demanding like better climate and legislation enforcement. So in New York, this summer, we actually passed a statewide bill for decarbonizing the economy by 2050, which isn't quite good enough, but it's currently the most ambitious climate bill in the US. But right now the challenge is actually getting it enforced and like on deadline. So there's a lot of work to do in actually like going to each state senator's office and demanding that they prioritize that and like prioritize funding it in order to meet the bill's deadline. Nicole, you got anything?
No, this coalition has four like principles that it's founded on. It's renewable energy, ASAP. Stop new fossil fuel infrastructure and dismantle existing public power. So nationalizing, well, state-owned public power, and then tax the rich to pay for it. So, and I would say one thing that we see that happens when, because it's a statewide coalition, it's targeting Andrew Cuomo, who's the governor of New York. And it's like very much climate focused, like it misses the like healthcare piece and the jobs piece, which sometimes we see when people try to like localize Green New Deal initiatives, but it still like allows us to do like public power work. So that's kind of one trade-off I see with the coalition.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so one of the big problems in New York is our public utilities are owned by a private monopoly due to some fuckery like in the 1970s. And we're trying to basically wrestle that back into public ownership because they want to make a profit. So they refuse to upgrade their facilities from fossil fuels fast enough and just like waste a lot of money on like CEO pay and bonuses and stuff when they could be just a publicly owned company on shareholder value, the great
evil. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome presentation.
Questions, thoughts?
Oh, I have a lot of them. Jay, do you want to start? Or should I?
You start, Diogo.
Okay, that's. I'm going to start with the end, thankfully. We were talking about movement for the Green New Deal, the trying to join all the different versions. For example, we do have that problem in Europe to some extent, because even Tillersman, one of the highest people in the European Commission, well, one of the two of them, they are proposing Green New Deal, which is much less kind of than what we need. Like Bernie Sanders has been saying a lot about the different Green New Deals as well there, which is like they don't have enough money allocated for that. They don't have enough resources. Their goals are not big enough even. And they're trying to make, like, sweep it under the rug, all the problems that we have, like, just show that we're doing something green and that we'll be okay. And right now, we do have some target goals that we cannot miss if you want to keep under the 2.5% the degrees of temperature increase. How are we able to join all those green new dealers if besides the ones that are just pushing policy nonsensically, what can we do to gather all of them around? Like, what can we do to ensure that all of them have the exact goals that we need, scientifically proven goals that we need to achieve? Like, how do we do that?
Yeah, I think that is a really hard question, and we're facing it here too. Like, lots of people want to say that they're doing the Green New Deal, and we're like, no, you're not. That's not the Green New Deal. I think that something that really helps is having Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, who, like, we kind of trust and know that what they are proposing, what they are working on will be what we want. So we have, like, a champion. And then it gives us more leverage than, like, what our outside game does is tries to show up when people aren't really on mark, and we, like, make it really clear. So it's either, like, calling people out because they'll do a Green New Deal that is for 2050, which, like, Beto O'Rourke did that in the primary. He, like, put out something that was a climate legislation, and the goals were just, like, not, like, we would all die. They were not good enough. And so we went and called him out publicly, and it worked. He, like, changed his goals. Or if people, like, only do energy, like, we'll go and we'll be like, yes, but, and we'll try to move it further.
Building a coalition is tricky because everyone has slightly different goals usually within their, like, their discrete group. So we've been very careful about who is in the coalition and, like, how to expand it, basically. Because some people might have, like, some groups might be at odds with us or have, like, different goals. It's tricky, but I think you have to, like, start small and basically form very explicit coalition goals that might be, that are, like, within your principles and within your group's, are within your group's principles, that are very, like, just make it very explicit so that people won't be confused or frustrated by something that might go against their group's own goals. That's how it's been described. Like, I haven't been directly involved with forming the coalition, but our, like, head of political strategy was, like, very careful to make sure that we are getting, like, the right mix of people who will help each other versus, like, risk infighting or something.
Awesome.
Yes, I appreciate the differences that there might be between the different levels, for example, so to speak, of the Green New Deal. Unfortunately, we have to sort of leapfrog the many stages that you have been through, basically because of the current election. So our first meeting of Green New Deal UK, even though it happened in London, was around the national election. Mm-hmm. So I would like to have made a coalition around groups just in London, but because of the national election, we had to expand the size of those groups to larger national think tanks and bodies who will sort of talk about a Green New Deal on the national level. If I think about this now, we have utilized NGOs and environmentalist groups to great extent for our advocacy work. And they are very good. Greenpeace are very good. The 350 Friends of the Earth, as well as a quite active divestment movement. We have a big fossil free London and fossil free UK movement, all involved mainly in activism. However, for policy, instead of utilizing smaller, localized organizations, those really have not been formed because of the political situation and the discourse being on a national level. So the policies we are putting through have to sort of jump a step just because of the election. So our policy proposals are national ones. The think tanks are national think tanks, which might be good in some way, because they do have a better connection to politicians who listen to these think tanks rather than the smaller groups. But then on the other hand, as you quite rightly said, Nicole, we don't want to leave anyone behind in groups of people who, you know, they don't have a think tank. They're just poor people in poor areas.
I think that, sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
No, so I'm just talking about in the UK, in this current time, our entire narrative of a Green New Deal is a national Green New Deal. And perhaps when the election is over, depending on who wins, we will go back to the more local, smaller coalition groups.
So I have a little bit of insight. Like Ted said, Sunrise is really only the advocacy side. We really don't interact with the policy at all. But I study policy. I study environmental policy. And so I kind of get to see both sides. And I think that in the US, we also only have national level policy right now. We only have the new consensus and federal level politicians actually like thinking about Green New Deal policy, or at least we had it first. So we had the new consensus. We now have Data for Progress, which is a national level data think tank. And they are kind of creating these big blueprints that work at a national level. And then we have the way that it's like localized, or the way that it was localized at first before there was policy, was different groups would just tell the story of the climate crisis and how it impacted their city without having a policy agenda to back it up. So we would do localized actions and say, like in California, like we need a Green New Deal because of the wildfires. And in Florida, it's like we need a Green New Deal because of the hurricanes. But there was no localized policy yet. And then I think what we're seeing happen is when local governments listen to that and a city council says, oh, we need a Green New Deal, they will call the new consensus, or they will like connect with this national think tank and then try to adapt from there. And I think that we like that because it means the principles of the Green New Deal are centralized and we have more control over them because they're done by like our allies at a national level instead of having to like coordinate in the US 50 different states and 50 different like local groups. So where it gets a little messy is like, yeah, the local groups without representation at a national level in each place. And so really having like local allies who want to write good policy and want to do the outreach to the local communities like in your city government works. But I don't think you have to draft like, I think that as long as the people who are drafting the policy all over and like, as long as those people want to do it well, it's okay to only have like national level think tanks working on it. If you have like a local politician whose legislative director is down to reach out both to the national level think tank and to the local frontline community groups in your area. And we are seeing that in some places. We're also seeing people not do that in some places. And then we get like bad versions of the Green New Deal, but, and we don't really know how to counter that other than like showing up and being like, this is not a Green New Deal.
Yeah, but also, I think
how do you go about it?
That's one of the questions. Like, as soon as we keep talking, like more questions are. I'm drawing more questions for you guys. Sorry, but if this is centralized, like we'll talk about something that we want to develop in regarding a toolkit of the Green New Deal, where we have different parts of it and for different countries because of different laws. We'll get into that later. But for example, organizationally, if the decisions of all the policies is pretty much made by the think tanks, do you have some kind of voting system to get on the Sunrise Movement? Is there a vetoing possibility for those different orgs? Which of those groups are represented in this central national committee or hub?
I would say that like Sunrise does not actually get a say in whether and what is like in the Green New Deal. And this is like a pretty big misconception, even in the US. Like we are 15-year-old to 25-year-old organizers and activists who don't actually really know what should be in the Green New Deal. So we trust the new consensus and AOC's legislative aides and Data for Progress to write stuff. There are like no adults. I mean, I'm 25. I don't consider myself an adult. Like there are no really adults that work for Sunrise. So I don't know if that was exactly your question, but I would say
Because we have been having some problems here regarding that. For example, because we also want to remodel some of the centralized structures in Europe, like you want to do in the US. We have also want to create green public works and whatnot to overview like how the progress is done conversation wise, and we have a scientific group and whatnot. But for example, 8% of our of the Green New Deal is made by a Portuguese party called Livre. And Livre, like last week, they made some proposals to the government. They have only one parliament member in Portugal, and the government actually took it on board and they accepted the Green New Deal to be our priority when we have the 2021 presidency of the European Parliament or the European. Mm-hmm. So this is a big thing. Like, you know, Libre is using Green New Deal as a banner for our presidency, and the government accepted it, which was even more strange. But for example, at that stage, like, does the Libre get to say on how the Green New Deal gets what kind of changes? Like, do Fridays for Future Extinction Rebellion in Portugal or different parts of Europe decide what gets put in the Green New Deal, or should we keep
How we do it is Sunrise defaults. Like when people ask us, and this happens to me, like people ask me, okay, Nicole, you've got our attention. Like you ran the action. What is a Green New Deal? I say, we can't tell you. Like you have to talk to the new consensus. You have to talk to the think tanks. And we've all kind of like, I would say that what you should try to do in your coalition is have a pretty clear divide between the organizations doing advocacy and the organizations doing policy. And when an advocacy organization gets an in, they say, I don't make those decisions. Let me pass you off to the people who write the policy.
Yeah.
That's hard because it does involve people like giving up power in a sense. So it would involve like that faction in Portugal saying like, I recognize that I don't get to decide what a Green New Deal is. I think it works for young people because we're all young and we're like, oh, we actually don't know. So it's much easier.
Nicole, can I ask, how did you decide to trust the new consensus think tank?
It's a good question. They are pretty new as a think tank, and they were like allies in different movements before that took the policy track. Some of them worked for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's staff. I think they were kind of created to do this also in a way, like, And I wasn't there for the formation of that, so I don't know exactly how it worked, but my guess would be that they were kind of vetted by a smaller movement. And I would say we had the luxury of not being this big national thing at the time, so we like got to be under the radar and got to kind of choose the policy analysts we wanted.
Did any of your members read their paper?
What paper?
The proposal?
New Consensus's paper on the Green New Deal.
Yeah, I read it.
Okay, so you do tell members of the Sunrise Movement, if they want to know, to read New Consensus's Green New Deal. Okay.
Yeah, and we have talking points for members, so like there are talking points on the Green New Deal that Sunrise people can access, so we know how to talk about it. But we, like, if we get invited by a legislator to a policy drafting table, we try not to go. Like, we try to connect with someone and send them instead.
Someone from New Consensus.
Someone from New Consensus, or someone that's, like, aligned with New Consensus. Because it's hard. Like, they're a small group. So they do now have, like, a bigger network of people in different cities where they're like, oh, this is an ally. Why don't you have this professor that we trust go for you?
So if I can just, I sent a link in the chat to our coalition. We actually do have the data for progress in our Green New Deal for Europe coalition.
Cool.
But they are just one. In terms of the UK, the IPPR, New Economics Foundation, and the Green New Deal group, who were actually the very first group, I believe, to propose a Green New Deal back in 2007. They are the think tanks who are based in the UK. So, I'm sorry, and also Commonwealth. I have this meeting with our Green New Deal UK people who are, like yourself, Nicole, young people who are mainly in advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I will recommend in this meeting that, of course, we should they can read these papers which have been given by these think tanks. However, if a media outlet or even the government wants to say, okay, what is your Green New Deal, we should put forth people from these think tanks rather than the youth movement.
Yeah, or have the think tanks write talking points for the youth movement, because sometimes it's helpful to have like a 19-year-old say the same thing that a 40-year-old would say, but I would have the 40-year-old write the talking points and share them with the youth coalition, which we have. That's what you can
also I put something in the chat as like a possible example of like regular non-policy people guiding implementation of green policy. So one of the things that the bill passed in New York this summer authorizes is a climate leadership council, which allows like more regular people to advise on how things are implemented. So currently we're actually trying to get one Sunrise member onto that council by calling the state government. There's like room. I know Extinction Rebellion has this in their demands. There's room for like citizens assemblies and other groups to advise on how these laws are implemented. I'm also just quick update. In about 13 minutes, I'm going to have to head out.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. No, this has been very good. I agree with the point about if the think tanks can put some certain talking points that the advocacy groups can use, particularly for this new action that they want to take. Because, as I said before, the previous action was mainly about getting a climate emergency declared. The new action that's going to be happening at the end of this month, early December, is going to be more specific to the Green New Deal policy proposal. And in this sense, it would be good if the details can be left to the think tanks, but the if some broad outlines, pillars are learned by the activists, I think then they won't feel so, you know, like gotcha questions when the media come, or, you know, when some politician who has an agenda tries to interview like a 13-year-old or something, you know, then maybe that 13-year-old might be able to say, here's what actually you could do. And I think that would be very helpful, especially right now. I hope Diogo in Portugal catches up with us. I don't know if there are any think tanks from Portugal who are proposing a Green New Deal. Are there, Diogo?
The think tanks? I don't believe so. Our major representative was the old partner of DiEM, Livres, that actually got first time elected into the Portuguese parliament. Think right. tanks, we don't. We have some scientific organizations, but at the moment, no think tanks.
Right. So it seems our coalition is mainly made up of British and French
and German
and, German and American think tanks. So
I think that's okay for now.
Yeah.
I think that the general election gives you like a special urgency to leapfrog the whole process that Sunrise Movement has gone through. Just to circle back to that real quick. Yeah. I think it's like an amazing opportunity to advance the New Deal, and within this urgent short like time span, I think you would be able to push the Overton window very fast relative to like a more normal time. But anyways.
Yeah, so I just want to give you the contact actually for the Green New Deal for Europe, Ted, because we still have to work out the contact for Green New Deal UK. But if you take down info@gndforeurope.com.
Can you paste that into the chat, please?
Yeah. And you will talk then to our policy people who are coordinating the Europe-wide Green New Deal. So they're they know a bit more than I do. I'm just in communications, really.
I still have a few questions for you. I have six. If I cannot ask, I will ask them by email.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Feel free to if we hit the time, like feel free to email me.
At 30, you said, right? 9 minutes.
Same. At 30.
Okay, this one I'll leave for later. The toolkit, like one of the things we wanted to do in the Green New Deal is like create, at this moment we're aiming for 40 or 50 policies that then can be remodeled into different countries. And then like have a lawyer looking at those which are more likely to be accepted, which ones are more likely to have an impact. For example, now we have a partnership with Hamburg and Barcelona. Both of them have agreed to use our policies, so kind of, like, we do want to change some central structures. That was my other question. Which central structures in the US do you want to change them, and how you're going to go about it? But at some point, we're going to create this toolkit so municipalities and smaller regions, in your case, states, would be able to use these policies and adapt them, even if the country doesn't do it by itself, if there is no federal law.
Yeah. So that's where, like, Sunrise doesn't have a policy toolkit. Like, the new consensus has that. So we don't have that to share. We have like an advocacy toolkit. Like I can share you on like a distributed actions toolkit so that your like members can show up in legislative offices and disrupt them, but I don't have the policy toolkit. As far as the central structures, I think the biggest thing that we want to change in the US is how people think about government. So our political education involves three different alignments. One is the New Deal alignment, where Americans thought that government should work for them. We thought that we should invest money in public services. We understood that public education and healthcare and housing were like rights that all Americans should have, all Americans being white Americans at the time, which is a different issue. But that is how people understood government. Then we went into the Reagan alignment, also the Thatcher alignment, which was like, government is bad, be an individual, let's slash all public programs, all of that kind of thing, which is where the US is still right now. And so what we're trying to do is bring about a third alignment, which we call the Green New Deal alignment. It's going back to like the idea that government should invest in public programs. So what we're really trying to change is like people's understanding of what government is and should be, which I think is broader than like what structures do we want to change, but that's how we talk about it so that we can change like a lot of the different structures within the government. And that's why we see like Bernie Sanders' Green New Deal plan was a $16 trillion investment. Elizabeth Warren's was a $3 trillion investment. And we can kind of look and say like $16 trillion is the amount of money that the government should be spending on this crisis. $3 trillion is not. Like, and then the structures that you need to implement the changes kind of fall into place from there. So that's the way we talk about it. The policy people might have the structures figured out.
But wasn't it supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people?
That's what we're going for. We don't have that right now.
It's an oligarchy.
Yeah.
It's like kind of, it's like mostly an oligarchy. There's some democracy though, but
yeah, but for example, we do want to target that. Oh, sorry. We do want to target that oligarchy in a really strict way. For example, the bigger oligarchy in Europe is the European Commission, and they make decisions based with the biased industrials in Eurofin before the Commission settles on something, and then every single minister of finance agrees with it, and then goes to the Commission, and then goes to Parliament. And we want to change that structure. Like, we know where that oligarchy is getting their input into the policy and decision-making, and we want to target those fuckers. Sorry, I'm going to bleep it out
that's
later.
That's true. And that's what they are.
Stop using that as an excuse to say there is democracy.
This is the work we're trying to do at DiEM25. So slightly adjacent to the Green New Deal, but yes, DiEM25 is working on this problem that Diego was just describing.
I think maybe something we've done, and I don't know if this would work, but something that Sunrise did really intentionally was target the legitimacy of the Democratic Party, because they are supposed to be our allies and they were never supposed to be challenged. For example, like we targeted Nancy Pelosi, who is the most powerful Democrat in the system. And we said, you're supposed to be representing a democracy for the people by the people, and you're not. And everyone in the US kind of went like, oh, you need the Democrats. Like, what are you doing targeting the Democrats? Why aren't you targeting the Republicans? So I don't know if there's an institution that like is supposed to be the one working for you within that, that you could kind of call out rather than calling out like the Mitch McConnells and the Donald Trumps who like are never going to change.
In the US, like the Democratic Party is seen as something that can be reformed versus the Republican Party cannot be. It's something to just to fight and like grind into dust.
And then, so yeah, we pick like the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's, and they're kind of like the new structure. Like she holds like town halls and is like very accessible to her constituents. And like, it's a very clear contrast.
She doesn't have the power to change the DNC guidelines or DNC rules.
No, she doesn't. And I don't know that we have like a new DNC guidelines written. I don't know if we have that. Like we're just advocating for change. I don't know that we have written the new laws yet, but it hasn't stopped us from doing the advocacy.
Well, I would I briefly lived in the US for 3 of the last 4 years. And I, just as a recommendation, obviously I don't know so much, but I would like you, if you want to look into this side of the reform, check out Public Citizen and the former presidential candidate Ralph Nader, who wanted to reform both the party system in this sense, and was actually shut out by the Democrats. So perhaps the work that they did over the years might give you some idea of what can be done along these lines.
Yeah, true. We see no flags with Public Citizen. They took a break.
Did you have problems in the New York City? I'm not going to say hub, but did you have problem being an ONG and not a legal entity? Because, for example, we did have problems with the data collection, for example, of our members and whatnot. That could be a problem in the future. How did you solve that?
So it's a fully volunteer organization in New York City. Actually, I think being a non-legal entity and just calling ourselves the hub in New York City makes things a lot like simpler in terms of doing like direct action that might lead to arrest, stuff like that, that can really escalate.
Fundraising. We don't have to like deal with any of our declaring of money.
Yeah, basically.
We just have it.
It's a collection of people that like meets frequently and is like on the same page. In terms of efficiency and structure and like any complications, I actually think it makes it easier.
How did you answer the question about fundraising?
We just have, is it a Venmo account, Ted?
Currently it's an ActBlue, which is like the political Venmo.
That's what we have. Yeah, institutionalizing all the chapters across the country was just like not something that anyone had time to do. So none of them are.
It makes it much nimbler.
Yeah, but for example, since we are a bit more on the policy side of things, like I think many political groups could attack us by there, you know. Being on the activist side, that's okay. If it works and it's legally binding and legal viable, yes, especially because you don't have to go have a class act for 50 people that got arrested in your movement. But being on the policy side of it, like then people start asking questions like, we don't want to be attacked in any way. Like, what kind of data collection are you doing? What kind of money are you using? And having these kind of exposed nerves out there, could be a problem. That's why we kind of ended up formalizing our relationship with DM, and that was part of our
solution. Mostly, like we do most of our pushing through like viral moments online, and also just being very visible. I need to get to a different event right now. Unfortunately, I would love for you to send me your questions on email. You have my email, right?
Same.
Yes,
and also Ted, if you want to rearrange another one of these meetings between Sunrise and the Green New Deal for Europe, just message that email that I gave you rather than any particular individual, because then they can post it out to all the Green New Deal for Europe groups associated with us for the next meeting.
And could I also have the presentation? Is it possible, or is it only internal?
Oh yeah, I can send that to you.
Yeah. Yep. We can also share if there are any other resources you want. Like, please ask for them, and if we have them, we'll share them.
I want to get along with your think tanks as well. I want to bring them all to the same board meeting and have like.
Global Green New Deal convention. I like it. I like the idea.
That would be awesome. Progressive International would learn a few things with us.
Yeah.
Let me, if you don't see the slideshow, I just pasted in the chat, just email me and I'll give you permission.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Good to talk. Yeah.
Okay. Likewise.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Bye.